Welcome to the Lifehouse Message Podcast. Please make sure to follow or subscribe to this so that you can get all the latest messages. We hope that you are inspired, empowered, and encouraged by the message today. Let's enjoy.
Hey church, Richard here from Hong Kong, and we've been talking about living on mission. And I love this topic because I want to live an adventure for Jesus. I don't want a just boring Christianity. I don't want a boring life. I want to do something big for God. And really this month is all about how God wants to use us to reach the people that he's put in our lives. Because the mission is people. The mission is those people that Jesus loves so much and that you love so much. All those people all around you. So we're going to talk about really how people respond to Jesus differently in this message, which I've simply titled, Why Do People Respond Differently to Jesus? Have you ever, you know, shared with someone about Jesus, or shared with someone maybe some of your story, bit of your testimony, bit of what God has done in your life, or maybe you've invited someone to church and you've just seen very different responses? Maybe someone is super open and they're excited, or maybe they're really closed, or maybe even, I don't know, like aggressive or something like that. People respond differently to Jesus, and not just different people, but I'd say the same person in different seasons of life can respond completely different to the message of Jesus, to the good news. I want to break it down why that may be, and I'm going to use a story that Jesus told. But before I do, let me just pray, and then we'll get into this part of the message. Lord, we thank you that you have called us to live on mission, Lord, and that you want us to have an impact on the people that are around us, the people that we love and that you love. And I pray you would use us powerfully. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to a parable, all right? This is Jesus telling a story. The whole point of the story is it's not a real story. It's to illustrate a teaching point. So he wants to teach us something from this story. And he's going to be teaching about people's hearts and how people receive the good news or not. And we come to a point where Jesus is really on the shore, and all the crowds are coming. And by the way, if Jesus was teaching, hey, I would want to be there. I would want to know what he has to say. And so people are coming from all over, and it gets to the point where there's too many. He can't realistically teach them from where he is. So he gets on a boat, and he's kind of a little bit off the shore, and he's teaching them. You know, his voice is carrying across the still waters, and everyone's listening to him tell this story. And he tells the story of a farmer who's going out to plant some seed, right? So we come to Matthew 13, verse 3, and it says, he told many stories in the form of parables, that's Jesus, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. And the story begins with a farmer who's intentionally going out to plant his seed, right? Seeds don't get planted by accident. They don't get planted through laziness. No, no, no. A farmer has to actually go out, get the seed, and place it on the ground or in the ground or do whatever farmers do. I'm not going to pretend to know the details of how agriculture works, either in the modern day or 2,000 years ago when Jesus was teaching. I don't know how it works, but the farmer has to go out and be intentional. And I think that's what we're called to be, is to be believers that are living on mission. My life is a mission. My workplace that I go to 5 days a week, that is my mission field. My home that I go to every day, those people in my home, my family who I love, they are my mission. My friends at university, my friends at high school, they are the mission field. And I'm going to go out and not just live my life around those people, but actually be an intentional farmer, an intentional sower of seed, sower of the good news, maybe inviting people to church, sharing my story, praying for someone. This story starts off with an intentional farmer. And I love seeing people living on mission for Jesus. We have a girl in our church. Her name is Zion. Hi, Zion, if you're watching. She's amazing. And she has brought so many people to church, tens and tens and tens of her friends and just co-workers, all these people to church. And you know what? She goes out and she's not like, she's not preachy. She's not like pushy or anything like that. I just think she's excited about her relationship with Jesus. She's excited about what God has done in her life, and she's excited about her church as well. And it just comes out of her, and she's constantly bringing people to church because she's just excited to sow her seed. And she's not overthinking it about whether I should share with this person, whether I should invite this person. She's just sowing the seed intentionally. And I think we could all learn from that. If you want to live on mission, if you want to have live an adventure for Jesus, I want to encourage you to sow your seed. Be intentional. And we're going to look at the response to that in the next few verses here. Now, before I get into the rest of the story, there's just a couple of things I want to say. Number one, God won't show you the condition of someone's heart. And I wish that God would. I wish He would show me who's open and who's not open to the gospel. I wish He would show me when my friends would be open to being invited to church or when they're not open. But I have found that over the years of being involved with outreaches, I've been involved with thousands of outreaches over the last 18 years here at Lifehouse. We have invited tens of thousands of people to church, and you know, we've seen that invitation go out in a very big way, and we've given people chances in church services to respond to Jesus. And you know what I've learned? I've learned that I can't pick it. It's so random who will receive Jesus and who will not. It's so random who will come to church and who will not from an invite. You just don't know. You can see, maybe you might have some clues, but I've often found even my clues are wrong and I'm thinking this person is closed, and then I find out they're actually really open. Or maybe they seem open, but then in the end, they don't come. And so that's something that I think is important to understand. God won't show you someone's heart. So you just got to sow the seed, not trying to work out how I can read this person, how I can read my colleague and wait for the perfect time for me to invite them to a Christmas service. No. Just invite them. And, you know, quickly you'll discover whether they're open or not. The second thing is that people's hearts can change at any time. Okay? So your heart condition is always changing. What's going on in your heart? And someone could be closed today and open tomorrow. And that's really exciting for us, because even if, you know, we've shared our seed, we've sowed our seed, we've invited someone, we've shared our story or something like that, and if it wasn't really responded to, that's okay. It doesn't mean that that person is closed forever. Okay, so we're going to get into the rest of this story here. And Jesus starts talking about four different conditions of people's hearts, or four different responses that their hearts have to the gospel, to the good news of Jesus. And really, this is a snapshot of someone's heart, because remember, tomorrow their heart could be completely different. And I think for us, probably all of us at some point have had a heart in this kind of condition. So this is not these are not like difficult people and easy people, but these are just conditions of people's heart at this point in time. Is that okay? Great. All right, the first person has a heart that is hard. At this point in time, there's a hardness to the heart, and the seed doesn't go in. In verse 4, the farmer is scattering his seed, and it's across the field, and he's going everywhere, and some of the seeds fall on a footpath, right? A hard path. And the birds come and quickly eat the seed. And so Jesus explains it in verse 19. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom, and they don't understand it. It just doesn't go in. Then the evil one comes along, that's the birds, and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. And so their heart is just not open yet. And I'm sure you've had those moments where you've invited someone, or you've shared a bit of your story and you just got a blank response, and maybe it went over their head, or maybe they just said, look, I'm just just not right now, or whatever it was. You know, to be honest, I haven't had many people in my life actually throw it back in my face. I found most people are actually pretty appreciative of an invite to a church service, especially around Christmas time. But, you know, you do sometimes feel that kind of wall goes up and, okay, all right. And I understand that this hard heart, it's just a state of today. That's how they are today. Maybe they've had a challenging week and they're just thinking about their work or their kids or some kind of life situation, and they're just not ready for that seed to go in. And it says the devil comes and just snaps it up before it can even take root. Well, the good news is if you meet someone that is in this kind of state, the good news is that they could change tomorrow. And I love Pastor Rod's story. Maybe you've heard of our senior pastor's story of how he was invited to church. His friends invited him and he yelled at them the first time, said, no, you know. Now, he was already reading the Bible personally, but yet he just wasn't ready to go to church. And he really strongly rejected his friends. And I love his persistent, intentional friends who the very next week, they asked him again, okay? It's pretty bold to do that after you've just had someone yell at you. And they invite him to church and his response is, okay, sure. And he goes along to church and his life changes forever. And, you know, like we've all been impacted because of those friends, because those friends who invited him to church again, you know, his life changed. It's led to Lifehouse Church. Like, our lives have been changed in this church. Think of the chain reaction that happened just because of a few faithful friends that, yes, they got there was a closed heart on this day, but 7 days later, there was an open heart. So what do we do when we meet someone that maybe they're seeming a bit closed right now? That's okay. Look, we're not going to convince them. We're not going to change their mind. Don't get preachy. Don't get pushy. Don't debate with them. Don't go, you know, like get into an argument over theology or what you believe. No, no, no. Just pray for that person. That's my advice. Pray for that person. Pray that the Holy Spirit would soften their heart, because that's what the Holy Spirit can do. It wasn't a person influencing them. It's the Holy Spirit that can change the condition of the heart. So if you've got someone in your family, someone that you care about, and they're just seeming closed off to coming to church, closed off to you even talking about Jesus, that's okay. Number one, be hopeful, because tomorrow they could be in a completely different space. And number two, pray for that person. Don't stop praying. Jesus can touch their heart. So that's the first heart. The first heart condition is a hard heart. Number two, the shallow heart. It says here in verse 5, the other seeds fell on the shallow soil with underlying rock, and the seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the roots soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Have you ever had someone, maybe you're sharing your story about Jesus and they're seeming really interested, or maybe you've invited them to church and they seem really excited, like, wow, this is a great church. Oh, I didn't realize that church was like this. Or maybe, you know, there's just an excitement with the season that they're in, but then, you know, next week they're nowhere to be seen and you're like, you can't contact this person. Or maybe they're just, oh, I'm sorry, I'm just so busy right now. And I don't know, like something pulls them away, but the roots never went down deep. Well, hey, Jesus talks about this heart. It's actually a common thing. Verse 20, he says, the seed that fell on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. So that's a good start. Verse 21, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. Their roots didn't go down deep. So how do we help these people? We help their roots to go down deep. We help them to get planted in the church, planted in God's house, to get their roots down deep into God's word, roots down deep into worship, their roots down deep into relationship with other great believers. You know, we invite people to connect groups on purpose. And I want to encourage you, if you've helped invite someone to church, Don't stop there. Invite them to a connect group. Get them involved in a community where we're taking care of each other. And our roots can go down not just into Jesus, which that's obviously the main thing, but secondly, also into some really good people and maybe some Christian leaders. And they can get connected and they're going to be stronger that way. Because this verse really talks about people coming up against problems. They receive the word with joy, but then they encounter some life problems or they encounter some persecution. And I already mentioned Pastor Rod's story. He got punched in the face on his third day of being a Christian for his faith. You know, sometimes that happens is the devil will try to rock you as a baby Christian, as a baby believer. Maybe some life problems come up. You know, there's a death in the family or things at work just go insane or you lose a big client and there's financial hardship or you know, something bad happens at school or something like that. Sometimes that can happen early on in a believer's life, and they can get really shaken if they're not planted in God's house, planted in a good supporting connect group, because we all need that. You know, a plant that is just, you know, uprooted, its roots planted into nothing, into air, that plant will die. Let me tell you, one thing I am confident of, if you want to know God's plan for your life, His will for you, it's for you to be planted. It's for you to be in a church, belonging to a church. You're going to grow. You're going to flourish. It's not always going to be easy, but that is God's design. And I know of a guy who, you know, when he became a Christian, he was so excited, came to Lifehouse Church and just saw the joy and met some great people and heard this message that Jesus had died on a cross and risen again for us. That He forgave him, that he was loved, that God had a purpose for his life, that He had a mission for him, and he received this with joy and then went home and joyfully shared this with his family, and it was not met with a good response. In fact, there was really some persecution that went on in the home there, and his parents were just very against his newfound Christian faith. And sometimes that happens. We excitedly go and share what Jesus has done in our lives, and it's not always met with a good response. And I know this guy, and he actually says at one point he was on his knees in front of his parents as they were saying some really tough things to him about his faith, but also him, you know, like really putting him down. That's so hard to hear from your own parents. And he was a student at the time. He had no money. He couldn't even afford the train fare to get to church every week. And so he walked a two-hour walk to get to church and then 2 hours to get back again. 4 hours of walking, burning those calories for Jesus, because he knew, if I'm going to get through this, I need to be planted in God's house. I need to be in community. I need to be around other leaders. I need to be learning about God's word. I need to be in God's presence, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. He knew it. And the good news is today, years later, he's still flourishing in his relationship with Jesus. He's actually a great leader in our movement. So I want to encourage you. Come on, we need to help those people to get their roots down deep. You see a new believer who's excited, come on, help them to get planted. Help them with their next step with Jesus by getting them planted into a connect group, maybe a dream team, and you know, keep connecting with them, inviting them back to church. So that's the second heart, the shallow heart. The third heart is the distracted heart. Verse 7 says, other seeds fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. And in verse 22, Jesus explains these thorns that come up and just kill this fresh little plant. He says, the seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, and just like the last group, they're growing, they're excited, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth. And so no fruit is produced. They get strangled. They get the fruit kind of, you know, squashed out of them. And, you know, these people, they get pulled in all these different directions by life, and that is normal, right? I'm a parent. I got four kids. You know, I think about their future. I think about how me and my wife are going to provide for our family and, you know, got to manage the finances and how are we going to do this? And, you know, all the practicalities of life that are real. These problems are real. We got to work it out. You know, before I was married, I'm thinking through, like, how do I meet the right person? How do I find a wife? And how do I, you know, move forward in my career and all this kind of stuff? They're all fair problems for us to engage in, but they can also be the very thing that chokes the life out of our tender relationship with Jesus. And I really found this. I've met some young people here in Hong Kong, and they've received the message of Jesus with joy, and you see some initial growth at the beginning, but then maybe they're just so worried about their future and they're studying, and I've got to put more time into my studies, and you know, this push to excel, to succeed in life, which is a good thing. They start really going down to this old thinking of, I'm going to do this in my own strength, and they're not realizing that you've got Jesus. Right, I get it. If you don't have Jesus, then fair enough. You've got to go out and solve all your problems. Parents, you got to solve those money problems. You got to solve those parental issues, those challenges with your kids. You know, young people, you've got to solve those problems at school. And single people, you got to find that partner by yourself. But hey, with Jesus, we're not by ourselves anymore. And if we just put our roots down deep into the church, and if we build spiritual foundations, which is really what I'm talking about here, journaling every day, reading God's word, getting strength from Him. You know, how can I apply God's word to my life? Simple prayer, just talking to God throughout the day. I'm in and out of prayer all day. Clean heart, forgiving people, you know, forgiving myself, keeping a healthy heart throughout my life. Like these foundations, spiritual foundations, we call those what I just mentioned, the big three in our church. The big three. You build your life with these kind of foundations and you're going to be strong. You're not going to be distracted by the worries of life and the lure, the temptations of wealth and success and achievement. And actually what happens is God will lead you to success by His definition. He'll lead you to your life's purpose. He'll lead you to a life of mission if you'll just build your life on Him. Let Jesus be the foundation. You know, journaling, simple prayer, clean heart, our roots going deep into a relationship with Jesus. I want to encourage you to get strong in your spiritual foundations. Tithing. I want to encourage you, give to Jesus, like every paycheck you get, give Him a tenth, not because you have to, but because you believe that this is going to be a pillar of blessing in your life. Get baptized if you're not yet baptized. Come on, put your roots down deep into Jesus, build these spiritual foundations. And for us, as sowers of the seed, we got to help people with their next step. Yes, they're planted. Yes, they've received the word of God, but let's help them get their foundations strong, their spiritual foundations strong. And I believe that they're going to grow and flourish and be blessed. And the last heart is, this is a really exciting one. And this is you, by the way. This is the multiplying heart, the fruitful heart, the heart that sees exponential growth and impact. It says in verse 8, still other seed fell on the fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. And Jesus explains it this way in verse 23, the seed that fell on the good soil represents those who truly hear and understands God's word and produce this incredible harvest. Obviously, this is the someone being impacted and then having this ripple effect of impacting all these other people throughout their life. And if you think about it, the power of one person who's had their life changed by Jesus, the power of one person with their heart on fire with the love of God and switched on to this life of mission, not driven, not like, oh, I gotta prove to God how good I am, or I gotta really pay Him back for all He's done for me. No, but just an excited, joyful mission of Jesus, I want you to use my life. I humbly give you my life, my time, my energy, my finance, everything I have, it's yours. Use me to touch people around me. Man, a life like that can impact hundreds and thousands of people. And just one quick story here. I want to talk about Pastor Rianne. And Rianne, if you're watching right now in Seoul, hello. She probably doesn't like that I'm talking about her, but I'm going to share some encouraging things about Rianne, because Rianne got saved in our church here in Hong Kong. I don't know how long it was ago, maybe 10 years or something like that. And she came into church and she was just hungry. And she quickly received the gospel. She quickly received this in her heart. She was looking for something. That's why she showed up to church. And within 7 months, she was leading a connect group. She just really just still a very young Christian, and she's already starting to lead a connect group, and she's just growing over time. And she was kind of like, she's always kind of been a reluctant leader. She's not like putting her hand up for everything, but whenever we would kind of say, hey, Rianne, you're really good at this, like, have you ever thought about maybe doing this or leading this, she'd be like, oh, I don't know. And she would always say yes to Jesus. You know, she'd pray about it. She's a spiritual person, and she'd step into it, even though she probably had a lot of questions. And she would end up leading teams and connect groups and just really growing and being a real big blessing to the church here. And I remember when we announced that we would be planting in Seoul, South Korea, and she texted me that day and said, hey, I'm really interested in that. And she ends up moving there just to be on the team. And now she's leading the church. And you guys, Seoul, if you're watching, you're just amazing. Come on, I'm just, why don't you give the Lord a hand for what he's doing there in the church right now. And we're just, the whole of Lifehouse Movement is really just behind you. And we love you guys so much. But it's just been such a joy to see the impact of Rianne's life on so many people here and then also in Seoul. And that's just what can happen when you the seed reaches some fertile soil. One life changed. One life can impact hundreds and thousands. And I know with Pastor Rianne and her story that, you know, this is still just the beginning of her story and all the lives that she's going to touch in the future and the years and decades ahead, all the things that God's going to do in her life and all the lives that are going to be touched there in Seoul as well. So I just hope that you guys, that you are encouraged, that as we go out and we be intentional and we be excited about sharing the good news, sharing our story and inviting people to church, that we're going to see that, yes, some people are closed today, but there are some people out there who are open today. We don't know who they are, but God does. And all we got to do is be responsible for sharing the seed, and God will bring the growth. Let me pray for those people in your life that you care about who are not yet believers, maybe friends, families, or colleagues. Lord, we lift up these people to you. We love them. Our mothers, our fathers, our brothers, our sisters, Lord, our friends, people at work, students around us, Lord. You love these people even more than we do. And I pray that you would use us to be a light in those places, and that we would not be trying to overthink, Lord. I pray against overthinking. I pray against procrastinating, Lord. I pray that we would just be people of joyful action who just invite, who just ask, who just invite to a Christmas service, or share our story, and we're just planting seeds all over the place, Lord. And I pray that you would really anoint that soil, and you would make it fertile, Lord, in your timing. We trust that there's going to be some fertile soil there that'll grow and would be multiplied into many people's lives being changed and touched, Lord. So I pray for that multiplying effect. I pray for those multiplied hearts, Lord, as we share our seed, as we sow our seed, as we sow the good news of what you've done for us, Lord, all around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to pray for one other group of people, because maybe you need to give your life to Jesus right now. And I mentioned that he died on a cross for you, to forgive you. He's forgiven me. I'm not perfect, but Jesus has washed me clean because of his blood, because of his sacrifice on the cross. And right now, If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, you can put your faith in Him. He's a living God. He rose again, and He loves you very much. And only He can activate this life of mission. Only He can give you purpose to your life. So right now, would you pray this prayer with me? I'm going to put it up on the screen. Read this out. Pray it from your heart to Jesus, and He's going to come powerfully into your life. Dear Jesus, I believe in You. Thank You for forgiving me. Come into my life, and I will follow You. Amen. Well, if you made that decision right now, I'm so excited for you. This is a big thing. It's a great thing. And I want to encourage you, get planted in God's house. Keep coming back to church. Join a connect group. Get involved here at Lifehouse. And I believe that your best days are ahead of you. God bless, and we'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for listening today. We hope that God was able to speak to you through the message. If you consider Lifehouse your church home, or if you were blessed by these messages, then why not consider generously supporting us? Simply go to mylifehouse.com/give and find the giving way that works best for you. Have a blessed day, and we'll catch you all next time.